Okay, we're on Samar Gimel Amid Beis, 10 lines in the bottom of the page. Huh? Samar Gimel. The Gemara is discussing the various rabbis were in Keren B'Yavna, and they were, each one was discussing the praise for the students, for the people there, for the hosts, for the people. So it says, Pasach Rav Nechemya B'Chvei Rachsanya. So Rav Nechemya opened up, Rav Yehuda opened up for, I mean, different people opened up in praising the hosts. So it says, Pasach Rav Nechemya B'Chvei Rachsanya. Rav Nechemya opened up with the respect of the community, and he said as follows. What is this that it says in the Pasuk? V'yayimer Shol HaKeni, Shol HaMelech was told by Hashem to destroy the nation of Amalek. So he came to the nation of Amalek, but there was a nation there that was called Keni, and Keni was very good to the Jews. Now Shol HaMelech didn't want that the Keni should get killed. So V'yayimer Shol HaKeni, Shol said to the nation of Keni, I want you to go out, to get away, you know, go out of the nation of Amalek. Lest I will destroy you together with them. And yet, you were the ones that did kindness with the Jews. Canaanites did kindness with the Jews. So when he's going to kill out Amalek, he told the Canaanites, so to speak, go out, and you'll be saved. So Gemara says, it's a kavachemid. Uma Yisrei, what if Yisrei? Shalikar of Esmei Sha'alu L'chveid Atzmei, who brought Moshe Rabbeinu closer only for his own glory. When he was, you know, Yisrei was Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law. And he was speaking to him, he was makar of him, but he did it for his own glory. And yet, Canaanites, who were descendants of Yisrei, were saved because of that. He says, if somebody hosts a scholar in his house, it's not any motives involved. He gives him to eat, he gives him to drink, and he gives him benefit from his properties. How much more so will they be saved? So in other words, he's telling the people from Yavne, you are hosting us, so to speak, so look how great you are, because even the Canaanites, whom Yisrei only did things for personal gratification, yet his descendants were saved, so how much more so you people? Then it says, Patsach Rabbi Yesi B'chvei Rachsani. Rabbi Yesi opened up in the respect of the hosts, V'darish, and he said the following, Le'sasai V'ademi, you're not allowed to reject or despise a nation of Edom, Ki Achicho, because he's your brother. Because Esav is the father of Edom, like it says in the Chumash, and Esav and Yaakov were twins. So the Torah says, listen, we're cousins, so to speak, with Edom. Le'sasayiv Mitzri, you should reject or hate an Egyptian, ki gera yisa be'artzi, because you were a stranger in their, you lived in their land. So he said, look how interesting this is. Edom wanted to kill us, Mitzrayim wanted to kill us, yet the Torah says, don't reject them. Why? Because Egypt hosted you, And Edom is your brother. He said, "Leit varim kavachemer, oma mitzrim." What if the Egyptians? So, kid, if you saw el letzedech atzmam, that the only reason why Parai was so nice in these weeks' parsha, in fact, it's parsha we're going to read the Shabbos. Parai said to Yosef, "Vim yadaito, if you know, v'yesh bam anshichayil, if you have amongst your brothers soldiers, v'samtam sari miknal ashali, appoint them as officers over my sheep." In other words, why was Parai nice to Yosef? Because he gained by it. Yet the Torah says, don't reject them. Kach hamach morso. Hama'arich tamar chochem b'seich b'esi. Somebody who hosts a tamar chochem in his house, u'machilu, and he gives him to drink, u'mashkeil, gives him to eat, u'machilu, mashkeil, and gives him to drink, u'mahaneu menachosef, and gives him from his possessions, alach has kam ever kam, how much more so shouldn't you do anything? Look how great this person is. This is probably the source, by the way, of the famous story with Alter Rebbe. We mentioned during the week when Alter Rebbe was freed from prison on Yitzchak Kislev, and they were supposed to bring him to the Chosid's house, and by mistake they brought him downstairs to the Misnagid's house, and the Misnagid served out Rebbe a cup of tea, but he was torturing him verbally for a few hours. And when they finally realized that Rebbe was downstairs, and they came down, and they wanted to bring the Alter Rebbe up, the Alter Rebbe said, 1 minute, let me give respect to the host and finish my tea. Even though he was badgering him with questions, and the Alter Rebbe said the 3 hours by the Misnagid was worse than the 53 days in prison of the verbal abuse. Nevertheless, he finished his cup of tea because you have to respect the host. Pasar Rabbi Eliezer ben Eshe, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, opened up Bechved Achsanya in the respect of the host, the Darish, and he said the following speech. Not the speech, what do you say? It says, Vayivarch Hashem es Eved Edem Agiti, Hashem blessed the house of Eved the Edem, Bavur Arenu Alekim, because he housed the Aren of Hashem. There's a whole story when, like he brings down over here, David HaMelech moved the Aron HaKadosh from Kiryat Yireyim to Yerushalayim, and Uzzah died, and therefore David HaMelech feared, he was afraid of keeping the Ark by him, because this guy, Uzzah, we read it one in Haftaris, Uzzah touched the Aron, and he died right away, an untimely death. So David HaMelech saw the powers of the Ark that had the Luchas in it, so he didn't want to keep it by a Jew's house, because God forbid, who knows what can happen. So there was a guy over there, so he said, you know what, the guy doesn't have the same Kedusha or whatever it is, so he kept it by the guy's house. So it says over there in the prophets, in the Navi, that Hashem blessed the house of Eved HaAdoimi because he housed the Aron of Hashem. So he says, like he said, Vayivarach Hashem as Eved Edim, Hashem blessed the house of Eved the Edomite, Vavur Arena Lakim, because of the Ark of Hashem that he kept in his house. So it says, the late Varim Kavachemid, Zinari Kavachemid, Uma Arin, what the Ark? Housing the Ark, he didn't feed it, he didn't give it a bed, he didn't give it to drink, he just kept it there. I mean, what did he do already? He said, the late Ma Arin, what did the Arin? Shleyach of Ashasa didn't eat or drink. All he had to do is clean the dust. I mean, what did he have to do for the Aron already? It's a much easier guest than a human guest. Yet Hashem blessed him. If somebody houses a scholar in his house, and gives him to eat, and gives him to drink, and gives him benefit from his properties, how much more so is the person going to be blessed? So all these rabbis basically were praising the hosts in Yavne that housed all the scholars that came to learn in this, like we said, this big yeshiva of Keren B'Yavne. So the Gemara asks, Mahi bracha sheberchei? What the bracha did Hashem bless Eved Adami? I mean, what bracha did he give him? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Barzavida, Rav Yehuda Barzavida said, Zuchamis Ushmeina Kalisel, this is the wife of Eved, and a mother-in-law, meaning she was a mother-in-law, and her 8 daughters-in-law, they had 8 sons, in which one was married. She yolda shisha b'keres echot. That every time they gave birth 6 at a shot. So that was the bracha. The bracha that they had doesn't go into any details. But they had 6 at a time. Like we find by Mitzrayim, when it says part of Vayishrutz Vayir Baviyatu, in Mitzrayim the women gave birth 6 at a time. That was the, so to speak, the ultimate bracha. The mothers, I guess, were able to handle it then easier. Today I think they would freak out. But so therefore that was the bracha that David had that Hashem blessed his house. Okay, Shenema, where do we see that they had 6 at a shot? It says, Shenema Pulas Ashmini, Kiberach Elekim. It says, Eved had sons, Shmai is firstborn, and so on and so forth. And then it says, Pulosai was the 8th, for Hashem blessed him. And then it says, Kol Elam Ibnei Eved Edim Hema, all these people that the Navi is mentioning are the children of Eved Edim, Hema, Ubneim, Vacheim, Chayil b'koyach laveda shishim shnayim le'eved ha'daimi. And these were the sons of Eved ha'daimi. They were sons of brothers, each man of special strength. 62 for Eved ha'daim. Okay? So therefore, he says, if you count sons and grandsons, it was 62. Now, how do you get from 8 kids, 62? So if you count, each one had 6 is 48, plus, you know, whatever it was, comes to 62. Like he says, he makes a cheshbon here. 8 sons, the 6 kids born to each one, and the 6 kids born to his own wife. So anyway, this cheshbon is that he had 6 kids at a shot. Amar Rababin Halevi. Rababin Halevi said, now he's discussing what do you gain by having a meal with a scholar. And he says, whoever forces the moment, then the moment forces him. I'll explain in a second. Whoever yields before the moment, the moment yields him. Meaning, means you push your luck. Like Rashi says, the story was Avshalom. Avshalom wanted to become king by force. So what happened? Meaning, you want to attain wealth or honor before the time, you're going to get setbacks and you'll never become successful. In other words, if you want to push the time, it maybe will happen. But if you want to push the time before it's supposed to happen, then you'll have a setback. If we find Avshalom wanted to become king, he's laughing, Avshalom wanted to become king by force, he lost everything. And then he says, where do you have, the Gemara is going to say the example of the other one, that you let the time push you, meaning you let it take its proper course. So then it works out well. Okay, the Gemara says, a famous Gemara, which is also at the end of Hadius, it's a very famous Gemara. Midrabba v'Rav Yosef. We learned this out from Rabba and Rav Yosef. Now, the Rav Yosef Sinai, Rav Yosef was called Har Sinai, meaning, as Rashi explains, he was a baki. He knew a lot. He knew a lot. But Rabba, and Rabba was Eker Hodim. He was more of a deeper mind. He went into things deeper. You have, in Teir Lashem, we'll see, it's an unbelievable concept in the Gemara. There's quality and quantity, but there's also broad knowledge. In other words, they know a lot, but they don't have a very deep head. And then you have a person with a very deep head that can rip apart logics, you know, really delve deeply into it. Rav Yosef had the quality, he knew a lot. Rabbi Ben Achmeni, his buddy, and he always has to argue, he knew, he had a very deep head. And the Gemara is going to say they were looking for a Rosh Yeshiva in the Yeshiva. So they didn't know who's a better Rosh Yeshiva. A Rav Yosef style or a Rabba style? You know, one who knows a lot, but not so deep. One that has less, broader knowledge, but has a deeper head. Who's better to use? So the Gemara says, Sholchu Lahasam, they sent the Shaila to Eretz Yisrael, because they were in Bavel, and Eretz Yisrael had the real big, Bezdin. So they sent a Shaila to Eretz Yisrael, Sinai v'Eker Harim, Eiz Mehem Kedem. What's better? Sinai means one that knows a lot, but not deep. Or Eker Harim, a guy that can uproot mountains, meaning he can really delve deeply into it, but he doesn't have such a broad knowledge. So they answered, so they sent back the answer from Eretz Yisrael, Sinai Kedem. It's better to have a person who's an expert. Why? Shakol Tzrichon L'marichit. Everybody needs the person who gathers wheat, who gathers a lot of wheat that he could sell. In other words, people need broader knowledge rather than in-depth knowledge. Like, people need to know more things have a broader knowledge of Torah rather than knowing less broad but more depth. So that's what they answered. So you told them they should take Rav Yosef instead of Rabba. Okay? So the Gemara says, Afo Pikein. So even though Eretz Yisrael told him to take Rav Yosef, because he was the broader one, Lekibul Alav Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef never accepted the job. Why? The Amrle Kadloi, because the astrologers said to Rav Yosef, Malchaz Tartishnin, they said to him, you will rule for 2 years, and then you're going to die. And Malach Rabba, the stargazers told him, Malach Tartishnonim, they said to him, if you rule now, meaning you become the Rosh Yeshiva now, you're going to only rule for 2 years.
Isn't that a problem with telling the future?
I'll answer that in a second. So he says, then you're going to die. So therefore he says, he didn't accept the job because he didn't want to die in 2 years. What happens? I'll explain this. Malach Rabba Esen V'tar Teshinin. Rabba became Rosh Yeshiva for 22 years until he died. Malach Rav Yosef Tartishnin Upalga. And then Rav Yosef ruled 2.5 years after Rabba's 22 years. Like this, he would have died 22 years earlier. Kol Anich Shana, the Malach Rabba, all these years that Rabba was they called him the king, meaning the head of the yeshiva, Afilu Umna Labesa Lekar, he never even called a doctor to his house. This is the Gemara. Now, so they ask a question at the bottom, but you ask, the Chayyin, I'll have to ask an astrologer. Right, this doesn't tell you, you're not supposed to ask all these types of things. So he brings on over here, although one is prohibited to approach an astrologer, whatever, to do it, he says, one who is told of such a prediction or discovers it by chance, is permitted to act in accordance with it. In other words, Rav Yosef would be forbidden to ask an astrologer. But if he happened to be told, so then you're allowed to act on it. You're not allowed to seek them out, the Torah says. But if they tell you something, you can listen. And we find, this explained, by the way, a lot of times, Rabbi Kiva was told, the famous story of Rabbi Kiva was told that his daughter is going to die on a wedding day. And then he found out she gave tzedakah and she killed the snake. How does Rabbi Kiva talk to stargazers? The answer is no, he didn't ask them. They came to him and they said to him, Rabbi Akiva, your daughter is going to die on a wedding day. So this is a lie. But the Gemara says over here an interesting thing, that he didn't need a doctor for 22 years. What's going on over here? And also, so there's a few things. Rabbi explained many different sikhas, this Gemara, in an unbelievable way. First of all, the Gemara says that Rav Yosef turned 60. When Rav Yosef turned 60, by the way, Rabba, just Rabba ben Achmei, he died when he was 40. So if he ruled 20 years, he became the head of yeshiva at 20. Gemara says about Rabbi, he was the greatest man in his generation. That even that, like it says on the first page of Tanya, that even the angel of death couldn't kill him because he was so busy learning, and Hashem had to make a way that he stopped learning for a second, and then he was able to kill him. The whole Rabba lived until 40, and God says in the Gemara, Hashem brings down, the Hashem says, they had a shayla in the heavenly court. So Hashem said, I am alone in heaven. Rabba is alone on earth, meaning nobody even comes close to him. Let's ask him. So, yet he passed away when he was 40. So Rav Yosef obviously was older because he 22 years later, what happened? Rabbi ruled 22 years, so he became head of the yeshiva at 18. Rav Yosef, when he hit 60, threw a party. Gemara says he threw a party. Why did he throw a party? he says, I'm not obligated in kares anymore. Like this, there's certain sins that you get kares. And what's kares? You die before you're 60. That's the punishment of kares. So when Rav Yosef hit the age of 60, he threw a party for the Chachamim, and he said, thank God, I'm out of the kares category. This is what he said. In the Geres HaTshuva and Tanya, the Alter Rebbe asks a question. In the third part of Tanya, Geres HaTshuva, the Alter Rebbe asks a question, if a person is supposed to die before they're 60, how is it we find so many people that eat Chometz and Pesach, and they eat on Yom Kippur, and they do a lot of other Avedas that you get Karis, and yet they live long, happy, healthy years, more than 60. They should be dying at 60. So Alter Rebbe goes through a long explanation in Geres HaTshuva and explains that the concept of kares is you're cut off. What does it mean? Because you're living from godliness. The neshama has this pipe, this lifeline. And you do an aveir of kares, so it cuts the lifeline. So therefore, you die, but not instantaneously. You have enough battery power, so to speak, to go until you're 60, but it doesn't become recharged, so to speak. So you die before you're 60. So the Alter Rebbe says that's only a person that lives from Kedusha, like in the olden times. But now we are so low, we don't live from Kedusha anyway. So just like you lived from evil until 60, you can continue living from evil after 60. So it's no big deal that, because we're not living anymore from Kedusha, so therefore even though we're cut from Kedusha, but we're not living from Kedusha, we're living from evil. Okay? So the Rebbe explained in the Sicha. It's interesting, this the Rebbe did when the Rebbe turned 60. The Rebbe made then the Farbrengens weren't very common. The Rebbe made Yeralef Nissen, when the Rebbe turned 60, the Rebbe made a Farbrengen, and he spoke about this Gemara, about Rav Yosef turning 60. So the Rebbe said, how did Rav Yosef know that he was living from Kedusha? Maybe he still was in the category of Karis, but he just didn't die because he's like everybody else. So the Rebbe quotes this Gemara. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch, in Gemara, in Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, there's a din. You're not allowed to live in a city where there's no doctor. It's forbidden for a Jew to live in a city where there's no doctor. Why? Because the Torah says you have to be healthy, you know, you have to take care of your health. Normally, people get sick. Normally, you get sick. So you always have to have a doctor available. Okay, if Rav Yosef didn't need a doctor for 22 years, which is completely not normal, so Rav Yosef understood that he wasn't living from evil, because this was a supernatural type of living that he was able to live for 22 years without a doctor. So therefore Rav Yosef knew he was living from Kedusha, and because he knew he was living from Kedusha, when he hit 60 he made a party. The Rebbe said, there are many tzaddikim that made parties when they were 60, because they knew they lived from Kedusha, that's what the Rebbe said. But out of modesty, they made an ending of a mesechta, they made a siyum, and that was the excuse for the party. And the Rebbe made this Gemara that we're learning now, is really the last Gemara in the Gemara of Hadeus. That's mamish the siyum of Hadeus. So when the Rebbe turned 60, he made a siyum, and discussed this Gemara. There's another interesting story along the same lines with the previous Rebbe. When the previous Rebbe came to America on the boat, the Friedrich Rebbe became very ill on the boat. And there happened to be a doctor on board. And the doctor cured the Rebbe. Later, listen to this, it's interesting, he wasn't even a chassid. Later the doctor came to the previous Rebbe to ask forgiveness. The previous Rebbe said, why are you asking me forgiveness? You healed me. I mean, why are you asking me forgiveness? So the doctor, listen, this is unbelievable. The doctor said, if I wasn't on board, you wouldn't have gotten sick. The only reason you got sick was because I was on board to heal you. But if there wouldn't have been a doctor to heal you, Hashem wouldn't have made you sick. So it's my fault that you got sick. That's what he told. It's interesting. He tells the Rebbe, it's my fault you got sick, because if I wouldn't be on board, Hashem wouldn't have made you sick. because you would have to be healed. Who would heal you? It's a very interesting concept. But
I thought that karet was you like don't go to Gan Eden.
There is two parts of karet. There's one part of karet, basically for most sins, is that you're cut off from this world. And certain times it says not only you're cut off from this world, but also from the world to come. As a rule, though, when somebody dies, like it says, if you get krisis amisis bezdin, if you transgress those sins, death itself is a forgiveness that allows you to go into the world to come. That's as a rule. There are a few exceptional sins that it says not only you're cut off from this world, you're cut off from the world to come. Like chilul Hashem. I mean, there's certain few avedas, but as a rule, karis by dying in this world, that itself is the forgiveness.
So you cannot do tshuva for that?
You could. We mentioned this many times. The halacha is that if Hashem kills you, either kari, so it's called misa b'day shemayim, heavenly death, you could do tshuva. In a case when Bezdin has to kill you, for instance, somebody was warned with two witnesses and they desecrated Shabbos, you know, intentionally, purposely warned, so you get stoned. Over there, tshuva doesn't help. When Bezdin kills you, the courts kill you, you cannot do tshuva. When Hashem kills you, karis misa b'dishamayim, the halacha is tshuva helps. So the Rebbe always quoted the Neid of Yehuda in a tshuva. The Neid of Yehuda says, why? If tshuva helps, tshuva should help. Why this yes and this no? The Neid of Yehuda explained very simply. Tshuva is really in the heart. I mean, a guy can be an actor and cry and, you know, tshuva is really in the heart, if you're really remorse or not. So he says, Bezdin, the courts don't know what's doing inside you. So, let's look at it from a legal point of view. That you committed the sin, they saw. Through the testimony of witnesses, they saw. That's definite. Did you do tshuva or not? Who knows? Maybe you're crying and you're pulling your hair out, but it doesn't mean you did tshuva. So therefore, tshuva is a doubt. So therefore, Bezdin has to kill you. But Hashem knows what's doing if you did tshuva or not. So if Hashem knows you did real tshuva, He's not going to kill you. But there's another interesting concept that they prove from this Gemara, another important shaila in halacha that we learned many times. What is better, quality or quantity?
Quantity. Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking breath versus depth.
No. You happen to be right. What is better, quality or quantity? So according to this Gemara, you see quantity is better. But you have a lot of halachic differences. There's one classic example that they bring down in halacha that shows that quantity is better than quality, but it's in the negative way. For instance, if there's a deathly ill person that needs to eat meat on Shabbos. You need to eat meat on Shabbos. Now, you have two options. You can either shecht a behemah on Shabbos and give him meat, or you have an option to give him pig meat that you have. Okay? The guy needs meat. You have two options. Should I give him pig's meat to eat?
That is already shecht.
Well, pig's meat, you know.
Right. That's on hand, isn't it?
Huh?
That's on hand.
There's a famous story that a guy was deathly ill. They needed to shecht the pig. So they shechted the pig, but then they had a question on the lungs of the pig. You know, they're like, you have a shayla. So they brought the chazit to the Rav, and they said, you know, this is the story, are the lungs kosher? So the Rav said, no, they're not kosher. So the student said, but such a shayla on a lung, on a cow would be kosher. He said, I should say kosher on a chazir? I'm going to say a chazir is kosher. I can't say that. I just can't say it's kosher. I mean, you can eat it, but I'm not going to say kosher, you know?
Yeah.
So the shayla over here is as follows. What's the shayla? Shechting and Shabbos is capital punishment sin. Right? It's a sin of capital punishment. But it's one sin. Once you do it, it's over. The guy can eat 10 ounces of meat, let's say. Let's say he needs 10 ounces of meat, yeah? So you do one big sin of shechita, but then all 10 ounces are kosher. Or should we give him pig's meat that every ounce is another sin? But it's not as severe as a sin as shechting on Shabbos, because that's capital punishment. So what's the lesser of the evils? Doing one big sin? You're allowed to, but the question, you want to minimize, obviously. So is it better to do one big sin or a lot of little sins? So in Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is, you shech the animal. Because one big sin is less than a lot of little sins.
The sin is a sin.
Yeah, but this is a little sin, this is a big sin. So, 10 little sins, meaning the quantity, is better than quality. And this is the proof, one of the proofs they bring us from this Gemara. Rav Yosef knew more, so it's more quantity. Rabba was more quality in the learning. Yet, they paskin the halacha should be, like Rav, they should take Rav Yosef instead of Rabba. Just very quick, there's another proof they bring. There's a sefer that brings tons of proofs on this whole issue. But there's another simple proof that they bring from Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. When Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai argue, the halach is always like Beis Hillel. With a few exceptions, but the halach is like Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, why? Because they're the majority. They're pushing more people. Okay? So when there's an argument, the Torah says you go by the majority. So Beis Hillel, the halach is like Beis Hillel. Yet the Gemara says, Beis Shammai were smarter. Because Beis Shammai only took in certain types of students. You know, there were smarter students than Beis Hillel's. So L'chayre, in quality, Beis Shammai was more than Beis Hillel. Because they were smarter. But in quantity, Beis Hillel was more. And yet the halacha is like Beis Hillel, not like Beis Shammai, because they were the majority. So from here you see that quantity is better than quality. Obviously it depends how much, I mean, obviously 101 is not better than 100 if the 100 is much better, you know, if to weigh it. But basically from this Gemara you see that.
My question, please.
Yes, sir.
Would that apply to other activities on Shabbos as well, such as if somebody wanted to keep the Shabbos? The only way they could get to a shul is drive because they're way too far. Would they be better off not going to shul and just staying at home, or still not doing other sins?
The halacha is a mitzvah that comes through a sin is not a mitzvah, and therefore halachically it would be better to stay home.
Another question that if somebody has to work in Shabbos. Would you eliminate certain, like let's say the guy's going to
whatever
work.
You eliminate, you eliminate.
The guy is going to work. Maybe just not right at least that day. He's going to work.
Whatever you can eliminate, you have to eliminate.
What's the minute? Just wanted to know how many bagels we have.
Okay, let's learn the next piece of Gemara. We have to make maybe a CM next week or whatever. Amir Ababin Alevi, Ababin Alevi, he was the first one that said this, now they're bringing down another one. From Ababin Alevi. What did he say? What is it this that it says in Tillim? Yancha Hashem Yer Mitzara, Hashem answers you on the day of distress. Yisagevcha Hashem Alekei Yaakov. That the name of Yaakov should strengthen you. We say this, you know, between Asher and Volatzin every day. So he says, Alekei Yaakov, Alekei Lei, Alekei Avram V'Yitzchak. Why it's only Elokei Yaakov and not Elokei Avrami? What happened to Avram and Yitzchok? So he says, Mikan, the Bala Keda, Shikon is Ba'ovya Shokeda. From here we see that when several people are carrying a beam, the owner of the beam must insert himself under the thickest part of the beam. Meaning, if it's your beam, you got to carry the burden the most because you don't want to lose it. So the same thing it says, who had the most kids? the most kids was Yaakov. So therefore, he has to be the one to stick up for the Jews when there's problems. So that's why the Pasuk says, Yisagecha should strengthen you, the God of Yaakov, rather than the God of Avram and Yitzchok. Okay.